fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A marvelous Monday to you. So glad you're with me on the show. Give me a call, 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line to call to talk to me for free on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. You can follow that too. The email address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. It's a great place to send in your questions and comments. Love to hear from our listeners on the show. We're going to kick off the week with an interesting survey that producer Lucas alerted me to. And this is from Probe Ministries. I guess they are probing the minds of people out there. And I'm not really surprised by this finding, but they just did a recent poll on the religious views and practices of American adults. And what they found was that almost 70% of Christians think that people can get to heaven either through Jesus or through another religion. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. And this poll was taken, just over 3,000 people participated in it, about 3,106 to be exact, Americans from the ages of 18 to 55. And this was really across all different religious groups, including over 700 people that identify as Christian. And so what they found was this: when it came to sharing the faith, fewer than one out of five who practice all kinds of different religions, okay, they could be Muslims, they could be Buddhists, they could be Christians, but one out of five who are belonging to some sort of religion in America, they strongly disagree with this statement that whoever founded their religion taught the way to get to God. So basically, here's another way of saying this. Only 20% of religious people in the United States believe that their religion is the only way or is absolutely true. Something you should know, by the way, we often lose sight of this, is that actually every religion thinks it's the only way. People say, sometimes Christianity, Catholicism gets a bad rap by some people who say, well, you know, you guys are so exclusive. You think you're right. Well, every religion thinks that they're right. Every religion thinks that in an exclusive way. I can't even talk today. You better believe that the adherents of Islam think they've got the only way. So it's not just Christians. It's not just Christians. So this really means essentially that religious people don't even believe in their own religion. They believe in something else, really, instead, some sort of bastardized version of it that's kind of admixed with the cultural zeitgeist of relativism. And that's something that we've had to contend with in the culture for many, many decades. It's become a little bit more stringent in recent years, a little bit more explicit in recent years. Pope Benedict called this the dictatorship of relativism. And what's relativism? The concept that there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. It's just your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth. But there is no absolute truth. That's what they say. The irony is, of course, that is a truth statement. When you say there is no absolute truth, people who say that think it's true. So we really can't get away from this concept of truth, can we? And so basically what's going on here is that people are giving into what's called pluralism, which is this concept that there are many paths to God, many ways to get there, many ways up the mountain, and there's no real one way, and you don't need to impose this on somebody else. And you don't, well, we would agree with that, by the way, as Catholics. We would say we don't impose anything on anybody. We propose this as being the truth. That's how we evangelize. That's how we evangelize. We simply propose these things for people's consideration, and that in their freedom, they have to choose whether or not they think it's true. We think there's really good warrant for this, by the way. But obviously, pluralism is something that's infected the culture through and through. And that's different from tolerance. That's different from tolerating people's beliefs. Pluralism is something different. This concept that there are many, many truths, many ways up the mountain. And so obviously, if you think that, you're not going to be too deep into sharing your faith. And so what do Catholics really think about this? Do we really think that there is only one way to God? Actually, we do. Actually, we do. If we're being honest with ourselves, we should always be honest with ourselves and honest with God. That is what we believe. It's absolutely the truth about what we believe. That we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ and in His Holy Catholic Church. We think that our church is the true church as well. So we might as well be honest about this. We might as well be open and upfront about this with everybody that we meet. Is Jesus the only way to get to God? Well, Jesus Himself said this in John chapter 14, verse 6, and this is really, if you can only remember one verse about this question, this is the one to remember. Jesus says, I am, it's one of the famous I am statements in John's gospel. He says, I am this, I am that. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So He's not simply one path among many. He's the only path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So basically what He's saying is that if anyone is in heaven, it's because of me, whether they realize that or not. So Jesus was in fact the only one to have come down from heaven and gone back. As He says in John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven except He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. In Hebrews 4:15, we have this great high priest in the heavens, it says, who can sympathize with our weaknesses, but He is without sin. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He has conquered death. He's conquered death. And so He's destroyed the power of the evil one through His action on the cross, His passion, His death, His resurrection, and He's delivered everybody who is in bondage to the enemy, if they go with Him, if they take that path. He's the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's been exalted to the highest place, Philippians 2:9. God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every other name. He also said things like, you know, my words are life, John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, Jesus says. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. If you're not the only way, if you're not God made man, it's hard to imagine somebody else saying, my words are life itself. My words are life itself. In John chapter 3, that famous discussion that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, He says, it's just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. He says, I am the gate, or I am the door, in John chapter 10, verse 7. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. Nobody else can say that. Jesus can really claim these titles because He is absolutely legit. He is the truth. And so this is what the apostles preached in the early church when Peter and John were on trial and they were getting in a lot of trouble, getting thrown in prison for speaking in the name of Christ. Peter says this, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. So there's no other name. There's no other way. And so this is our message. Jesus says this also in John 17:3. People often ask the question, they want to get eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, Jesus tells us in John 17:3, He says, this is eternal life, that they know you. He's praying to His Heavenly Father. This is His great high priestly prayer before He goes to the cross. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing the one true God, Jesus Christ, who was sent by the Father. So this is really what eternal life is all about. Eternal life starts now. When you read the Gospel of John, it's very much, he very much has this theology that eternal life starts now. Eternity starts now in this world, and it just kind of carries on into the afterlife. So heaven starts now, hell starts now too in this world, because when people reject God and His ways, in a sense they're living in many ways a hell on earth, and the real one is coming up after if they remain obstinate, and hopefully they don't. And so this is what it's all about. And so it's very similar when people walked away from Jesus when he taught about the Eucharist in John chapter 6. A lot of people said, we just can't handle this. We can't listen to this guy anymore. Jesus turned to his disciples. He turned to the apostles. He turned to the 12. He said, hey, do you guys want to leave as well? Do you want to go away too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. John 6:68 and following. So eternal life can really only be found through Christ. And that's communicated to people in this world through the church. It's sort of a related question to this is, what about the Catholic Church? How does the Catholic Church figure into all of this as well? Well, that's a really important question, because the Catholic Church has always taught extra ecclesiam nulla salus, or, you know, in Latin, and that means outside the church there is no salvation. So, but what does the church mean by that? What does the church mean by that? The church has talked about something called invincible ignorance concerning salvation with Christ. So just as Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, that's true. So if somebody does find themselves in heaven, they'd be like, oh, it was you all along. There is something called invincible ignorance. Some people truly do not know, and there's no foreseeable way for them to overcome this, about the truth about Christ and his church, because they've never been told this. It's never been explained to them properly. There's lots of reasons why people are invincibly ignorant. Now, who is really invincibly ignorant? We don't really know. We leave that up to God to sort that out. But our job is to tell people about this truth. And you can read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if you look at paragraphs 846, 847, 848, it does talk about this, what this really means, that there is no salvation aside from Jesus Christ and the church that he established, which is his mystical body. It is his body on earth. So when you reject the church, really you're rejecting Christ in a lot of ways. A lot of people don't want to see it like that. But that's exactly what's going on. So another thing that we should really know too, when it comes to wanting to share our faith, because obviously if people do really believe that there are many paths to God, they're not going to want to evangelize. They're not going to want to evangelize because people are going to get there anyways in their own way. So if they really are convinced of the truth of our position, they're going to want to share that with people. They're absolutely going to want to share that with people. And we should, because we can't rely on this whole thing of being invincibly ignorant. Just because somebody is ignorant of the truth or doesn't know the truth, that doesn't mean that they'll automatically be saved. The church says it's possible that they may be saved, but it doesn't say that it's going to automatically happen. And I remember once reading something on this by Tim Staples, Catholic apologist, and he said, look, ignorance is not bliss. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. For example, I'm sitting here, I'm drinking a glass of water that's been given to me, and hey, I can say thanks for this water. It's great. And I might think that it's water and I might drink it. I might not know that it's been laced with a deadly poison. And so what I don't know can hurt me in that case. I might be ignorant of this fact, but ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt you, and that's certainly true in life. What you don't know can really hurt you in the spiritual life, too. And so let me just give you a little quote here from the Catechism on this. And the Catechism, by the way, it's quoting another document. It's like a document within a document. It's from Vatican II. It's from Lumen Gentium, chapter 14. And I've talked about this a lot in the past, and I remember Patrick Madrid, who obviously also works here at Relevant Radio. I remember attending a talk given by Patrick Madrid at a Catholic conference, and he was talking about this. And I remember at the time I was starting to be convinced of the truth of the Catholic position. I was somebody who grew up Catholic, left the church, became a Protestant minister, and I was thinking about coming back into the Catholic Church, but I wasn't sure that I really had to do it. I thought maybe I could remain as a Protestant minister and keep teaching people Catholic things and sort of helping them understand the Catholic Church from outside the church. Well, here's what the Catechism says. says, how are we to understand this affirmation? It's talking about this whole thing of there's no salvation outside the church. How are we to understand this affirmation often repeated by the church fathers? If we reformulate, the catechism says, if we reformulate this quotation in a positive sense, instead of saying outside the church there is no salvation, well, we can reformulate this in a different way, saying salvation comes from Jesus, the head of the body, through the church, with it, which is his body. This is how you get it. Let's not worry about outside the church there is no salvation. Maybe a better way to say it is this is where you find salvation. And then there's the quote from Lumen Gentium chapter 14. It says, quote, basing itself on scripture and tradition, the council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. The one Christ is the mediator and the way of salvation. He is present to us in his body, which is the church. He himself explicitly asserted the necessity of faith and baptism, and thereby affirmed, at the same time, the necessity of the church, which men enter through baptism as through a door. Now, here's the big line here. Hence, they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would either refuse to enter it or to remain in it. End of quote. And that's a quote there from Lumen Gentium, chapter 14, which means Light of the Nations. That's a document of Vatican II on the church. And this is what I heard during this talk that Patrick Pendred was given. He brought this up, and it really cut me to the heart. You know, just as you know, when the apostles were preaching at Pentecost, the people were cut to the heart. I said, wow, this has to do with my salvation. These are just not nice things that I'm learning about the Catholic Church. Wow, this is part of the package. To reject the church is to reject Christ. Because, as it says, if people know that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, this is how we get to Christ, is through the church, through the preaching of the church, through the sacraments. We're brought in touch with Jesus Christ. If you know that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, you would either refuse to enter it or to remain in it. You can't be saved. Wow. That really, really struck me. So you're not, now, if you don't know this, that's a different story. That's where the invincible ignorance comes in. But if you know, if you've got good reason to believe that this is true and you don't follow up on that, oof, that's a shaky place to be. Because if you reject the truth at any level, that's a huge problem. Because God is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. And the truth will set you free. It's another thing he said. So if we reject the truth, that always puts us on shaky spiritual ground. That which we know is the truth. Now, there are plenty of people that don't know it's the truth, but for those that suspect it might be true, they have to follow up on it. They really do. So it's kind of the whole McDonald's argument. You can walk into McDonald's, but it doesn't make you a hamburger. Listen, just being in the church is not enough. Just being in the church in body. It goes on to say in Lumen Gentium that it's not enough to be in the church in body. You've also got to be in the church in your heart. You've got to be living the faith that Jesus taught. You've got to be participating in the sacramental life in order to be truly in the church. Because you can't fool God. He knows those who are practicing and those who aren't. So this is really, really important. Now, it goes on to say just really quickly about those who are invincibly ignorant. This is from Lumen Gentium, chapter 16. It says, this affirmation is not aimed at those who, through no fault of their own, do not know Christ and his church. Those who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and, moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it, through the dictates of their conscience, those two may achieve eternal salvation. So this is the invincible ignorance part. There are people who actually have a sincere heart. They're looking for the truth. They want to practice it. They're practicing it as best they can right now, but they're missing some crucial information. Now, we've got to provide that to them. This is part of the apostolic mission of the church. This is why it says, goes on in the catechism to quote, although in ways known to himself, God can lead those who, through no fault of their own, are ignorant of the gospel to that faith, without which it is impossible to please him, the church still has the obligation and also the sacred right to evangelize all men. So we have the obligation and the right to evangelize, to share the faith. And St. John Paul II, it was his feast day this past Friday, in his encyclical Mission of the Redeemer, he really talked about this, that this apostolic mission of the church never goes away. It's constant. That's why there has to be a new evangelization. It's something that he talked about all the time. By the way, he didn't coin that term. That was from Paul VI. Pope Paul VI said there's got to be a new evangelization. He was the first to really talk about it. And of course, JP2 fleshed that out a lot. And I remember once speaking to Paul VI, somebody once asked him, you know, is it possible to be saved is it possible to be saved without the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he said, yeah. And maybe another question to ask is, can I be saved if I don't tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because this is part of our faith. If we don't believe it, we won't evangelize. And we're called to do really two things in life through our baptism. We're called to seek holiness, to become saints, and to help other people become saints. And that's apostolate, that's evangelization. So we've got to do that. And so really quickly, really, I want to make this really clear, that if somebody is involved in another religion, if anybody makes it to heaven, it's through Jesus Christ. It's not because of their religious beliefs, which are not true. It's in spite of those things. It's in spite of those things. It's because of Jesus Christ. But we've got to set people free from their false beliefs and their any ignorance that they may have. So hopefully that is clear. We've got to preach it. And we can't be religious indifferentists. We can't be somebody who says, whatever. We can't say just whatever. A friend of mine wrote a book called Just Whatever, Matt Nelson. You know, we live in the whatever generation. We just kind of live and let live. No, we've got to be concerned enough about people's souls to evangelize them. We'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149.